Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete, while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Today it's a birthday podcast, July the 25th, Ray Woodson's birthday, and we'll talk to him. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. All right. Happy birthday, Ray Woodson. I'll give you just one guess as to who that is singing that, by the way.
I have no idea.
It's Weird Al Yankovic.
Of course it is. Why couldn't I tell that?
And I never, I wouldn't have known it was your birthday if not for Facebook, by the way.
Well, yeah, that everything gets added on Facebook, I guess. So I couldn't hide the dirty fact that I am now older. I don't think they put my age out there. And that could be coming later on. But let's put it this way. No matter how old I am, I'm mentally 14. That's the key to staying young. Just be immature. So I do the best I can. Yeah, Weird Al, that just makes it a really special birthday. And I told myself I wasn't going to cry. But you know, if I well up a little bit, please excuse me.
So, you know, for your birthday, I guess you're just going to sit in front of a computer and watch the Giants on Facebook Watch.
Oh, are they on Facebook Watch?
Yeah, just for your birthday. You know, you got to make sure you have an internet connection.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, right now I'm down near the beach. I think I'm going to be missing the Giants today. I'll catch them later. And me and thousands of others probably in the same position. I mean, we talked about this before with Facebook Watch, and it's inconvenient for fans. It truly is right now, but it's not going away, right? Baseball is going through a change here in how they're trying to market the game, and they think this is going to reach a broader audience, maybe a younger audience. I don't know. So the way that you're used to consuming games is going to change. That's just the way it is. But in the meantime, it's a little hard to get used to. But enjoy Facebook Watch today, I guess. And, you know, what do they do? I guess they have some fan interaction that they do, which is fine. I'm cool with that. But it's just the way it's conveyed. I don't think it's going to be easy to get for a lot of fans for a while.
Yeah, it just bothers me that I can't record it. I mean, I like to record things and watch it later, but can't do that. By the way, I just thought it was really appropriate to have Weird Al Yankovic because of the way the Giants have been scoring runs lately. It's been weird. I mean, look at the way they scored the winning run in the game on Tuesday in Seattle. Pablo Sandoval, with an infield base hit, ended up scoring Duggar. And you think back to the A's series in Oakland when the run was scored because of a chair incident with Mark Melanson. So, I mean, it's been weird lately the way the Giants are scoring.
They've gotten weird, that's for sure. I'm trying to think of Weird Al Yankovic songs. I guess Eat It instead of Beat It.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Yeah.
Dare to Be Stupid was one of my favorites.
Oh, he was funny.
He actually he went to school not far from where I am at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. And classmates of a guy I worked with in Salt Lake City named Randy Cardoon, who's been the longtime sports update guy in L.A. for K KNX News Radio. So there's your 6 degrees of weird separation right there.
Wow.
But getting back to the topic, the Giants have had some strange games lately, and they've had some close games. And, you know, they were playing an A's team that has been playing as well as anybody in baseball for the last month. My God, what did they do? They were down 10-2 to the Rangers, and they come back and beat them. They hadn't done that in the late innings, that franchise, in 79 years.
Yeah,
from that
amazing.
Kind of deficit.
Yeah.
But they're a team with a lot of firepower, and they're feeling good about themselves right now. And I think they are going to run down the Mariners for a wild card spot. You know, they're probably not going to win the division, but they're right now playing as well as anybody. So you lose, you know, 4 out of 6 in the Bay Bridge series to a team that's red hot right now, but you play them close games and you have a couple of frustrating losses. You know, Brandon Crawford running through a chopper, who talk about weird. You don't expect that to happen, but it was a do or die play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you know, they're playing these tight games. You know, the problem for the Giants is that when you're in these tight games or you get a lead, you can't add on. That's been their problem for a couple of years now. So you end up having a lot of these one-run games, and especially when you're in the other team's ballpark, you're going to be in trouble tied in extra inning games, and that's kind of what's happened to them. And, you know, we're talking about a couple of games where it's real close. I don't know if you can draw any broad conclusions from that other than they played a hot team pretty close.
One thing that I really like, Ray, about this team is that they've got some exciting elements that they haven't had really in recent years, you know, especially last year, speed being one of them. You know, you watch the triple that Kelby Tomlinson had, and we've always liked his speed since he came up a couple, 3 years ago. But he had that mm-hmm. triple in the game on Tuesday. And, you know, Steven Duggar, he can steal a base. He stole his first base in his major league career yesterday. And Hanson, you know, we've seen him just light it up. And mm-hmm. and then you see a great throw by Austin Slater. And I don't think we've seen a throw like that from the outfield in a while. He threw out Kyle Seager at home plate, just gunned it to the plate on the fly to Posey. Those are the kind of things that really I think we're missing and make me excited about the run that the Giants are trying to make.
Well, sooner or later, they have to go to the youth movement, right? Whether they succeed here in the second half, or whether they fall by the wayside, whether they're buyers or they're sellers, time marches on. And they're going to have to give way to the youth movement and see what they've got. It may not be very good. It may be some help down the stretch. We'll see. But that's just the way it's going to have to go, I think, for this franchise. Eventually, they're just going to have to see what kind of talent they've got. And you know, there's been a lot of talk about the farm system and the lack of talent for the last couple of years. But you can still produce a few impact players. The problem that I've had with the Giants farm system the last few years is they've got a lot of these nice ball players. Nice players, you know, 1.0 war players. They're good, some of them. They do some nice things. But super impact players, no, they don't have that.
No.
They've got these nice players that you can, you know, nice, like nesting dolls. You can stack them inside of each other and they make a nice little set. But do they really do anything memorable down the road? We don't see that yet. What you want to see is some impact guys. In the meantime, we've got guys who could be good pieces, talking about somebody like Duggar or somebody like Austin Slater. They've got to find out. You got to find out eventually. And to me, no better time to find out than in the meaningful games where it's not garbage time at the end of the year and see how they respond. And as you mentioned, Slater responded with a tremendous throw, one of the best throws from an outfield I've seen on the Giants in a long time. And, you know, he had to go to his backhand to get it. And just impressive that he was able to get it there on target, on the fly, so that all Buster Posey had to do was catch the ball. You talked about the speed with Hanson and with Duggar. That's something that's been missing with this team. And they've been missing power as well. You know, they've had a tremendous power deficit. So they still got to fill in that blank. They thought maybe Mac Williamson would be that guy, but, you know, it's been up and down for him. And it's a lot of misfortune with injuries, and he's not been able to get any traction. And at this point, you wonder if he ever will. He might get one last chance, and then we'll see. But that's the way the wind is blowing with this franchise and with this team. You got core players that are in their 30s now, and you got to plan ahead.
And the thing that's really been hurting him lately, Ray, is that so many guys are in slumps. I mean, Posey, you know, all year he really hasn't been hitting for power. Okay, you kind of accepted that. But Crawford's been in a slump, and he's sort of a guy you count on for power. And the main guy you count on for power is Brandon Belt, and he is in a miserable slump. I mean, he's 1 for his last 31. He goes 0 for 5 with 4 strikeouts on Tuesday. And that's kind of the Belt way, where he gets hot. He can hit, you know, 4 home runs in a week or something like that. But then when he gets cold, it's just awful for this team because they count on him a lot in the power area and to produce. And right now, he just looks befuddled at the plate.
Well, he goes through those streaks, doesn't he? He's a very streaky hitter. And that's the problem when you have somebody like that and you put him in the middle of the lineup. You're going to go through those times where your offense is a disadvantage when he is struggling. And when he's locked in, he can be a terror for a couple of weeks. You know, I'm here sitting at the home on the Central Coast of the best man at my wedding, and he pays close attention to baseball, and he volunteered last night an opinion on Brandon Belt. It's like everybody's got an opinion on Brandon Belt.
All the way up and down the coast, yeah.
Up and down the coast they do. His legend looms large, far and wide. But, you know, he said the same thing I've been feeling about Belt, that he's a very much underrated player. But I also think that a lot of people denigrate Belt because of their expectations of him, that they thought he would be this superstar player because of the numbers he put up in the minor leagues. It didn't quite pan out that way. And, you know, he had the misfortune of running into baseballs that were thrown. And, you know, it's led to a couple of concussions that have cut short his season. And so you want to see the numbers he has through a full year. And he hasn't been able to do that through no fault of his own. But you look at the numbers at the end of the year, and you look what he contributes defensively, this guy is a top 6 or 7 first baseman in Major League Baseball. But unfortunately, you know, on a team that doesn't have a whole lot of other power hitters, it stands out when he's not producing that power in the middle of the lineup. And that was the whole idea of getting McCutchen and Longoria, getting a little more length and power to the lineup. McCutchen's also been up and down, and he got off to a very slow start this year. And Longoria has been hurt. And Posey is not the power hitter he was, and he's never been a pure power hitter. But, you know, he's, because of the hip issue, he can't lean into a pitch the way he could before. And, you know, this is a problem when Brandon Belt is slumping. It's hard to find production elsewhere.
Well, they did get power out of Hunter Pence on Tuesday in Seattle, his first home run of the year. And what was that I said about Pence being, you know, dead weight on the roster? Maybe not.
Well,
he had the 3 hits over the weekend against the A's and then a 445-foot home run. But, you know, is this sort of just, you know, a small little contribution and, you know, it's not going to last? That's kind of my thinking.
Well, you talk about Weird Al Yankovic and weird. How about winning a game where Pablo Sandoval's speed is a factor and Hunter Pence's power is a factor?
Right.
Yeah. You talk about a unicorn game. I mean, the way things have been going. But, you know, listen, Pence has had trouble making solid contact for a long time now. But he had a nice game against the A's, and he definitely made solid contact on the home run. And you know the strength is there. It's just making consistent contact. And nice to see. And you hope that he brings it around a little bit. But at this stage in his career, I don't know if that happens. I mean, it looks like he's near the end when you look at the numbers and we look at the quality of the at-bats. And I think that probably stunned the Mariners that he went yard with, I think it was the 3rd longest home run this year for a Giants player. So, I mean, with him, you know the power is there. But if he's not able to make consistent contact, you're seeing a lot of, you know, what we have seen, slow rollers and dribblers and things like that. So maybe this is the last hurrah for him. I don't know. They're going to roll him out there and play him, I guess, because you can't trade him with what's remaining on the contract unless you gobble up the money. So their lack of outfield depth, they kind of feel like they got to play him and see what they can get out of him. But frankly, it hasn't been much at all until the last couple of games. So, you know, I think it's kind of a small sample size of a player that's near the end. But maybe he's got a little something left to give.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get a lot of playing time, Ray. I mean, I think he's not hitting the fastball. That home run was on a hanging breaking ball. And I think Slater, according to Bochy, he's going to get more of the time. Slater, you know, Gorky's has been cold. So, yeah, and he's not going to play as much. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think you're going to see Pence out there as much. They're just kind of riding it out with him until the end of the year, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what they have to do. They got to stick with him and try to get them some playing time when they can. But no, I would agree with that. You know, not that Slater's okay. He's got some skills, maybe not one particular outstanding skill, but he's making contributions. And, you know, as opposed to Pence, I'd rather see Slater out there. Find out what he can do over an extended period of time. He was doing some good things last year, then he got hurt. You know, so I would be much more interested in seeing what Slater has to offer at this point, whatever it is.
Meanwhile, in the bullpen, Sam Dyson, I mean, he was throwing 95-mile-an-hour sinkers that were pretty much unhittable. They were at the knees, and that's another guy that I kind of left for dead. I just was thinking he's not pitching that great. You know, I know his numbers aren't bad, but he just didn't seem reliable. But if he featured that kind of stuff that he did on Tuesday all the time, mm-hmm. man, you could really count on him.
Well, he was, you know, taken off the junk heap, right, last year, and he was one of the few good stories in 2017 for the Giants, the reclamation project they did with him. And it's been a lot up and down this year and hadn't really taken to the closer's role. And with Strickland out, they've had to, you know, cobble together that end of the bullpen. But I think with him and for a lot of these relief pitchers, what's happened as well is the starters haven't been going deep into games and they've really had to lean on that bullpen. And it has a cumulative effect after a while. And so I think by the time they got to the All-Star break, a bunch of these guys were gassed. So, you know, maybe a little bit of rest would help them out, and you get some production out of them in the second half. But, you know, they got to have Strickland come back and be effective for them as well to get some depth to that bullpen, either that or get another arm in there that you can deal for. And, you know, maybe bringing up Ray Black will help as well. But, you know, that's, to me, is the overarching story for this pitching staff, is that the starters – that you count on, like Bumgarner, Cueto, so forth, the top of the rotation, haven't been really going deep into games. Cueto was able to, you know, get seven in after a slow start against the A's the other day. Bumgarner's been kind of up and down since he's come back. And, you know, you got these young pitchers that aren't going more than five or six innings. Chris Stratton, you know, they had to send him down. He was not going deep into games. Rodriguez has been a real pleasant surprise. But they've not been getting consistent depth out of the starting rotation. They've really had to lean on that bullpen. And I think, you know, as the season goes on, that becomes a problem unless they get more depth in the bullpen and some fresh arms in there, or they get better performances out of the starting pitchers.
Well, we're less than a week before the trade deadline, and, you know, the Giants are buyers, I guess. I mean, they're in the race, so they should be buyers, but they're trying to stay under the tax threshold. They don't want a rental, which I understand both of those issues, but, I mean, generally, that's how you get somebody. Look, the Yankees got Britton, and he's a rental. The Dodgers got Machado. He's a rental. So I know the Giants came out and said they didn't want a rental. So I don't know how this is going to work, that you actually get a guy who's not a rental and you're going to stay under the tax threshold.
But they're in one of the worst positions you can be in at this time of the year. They're sort of in that netherland, right, where, okay, we're contenders. We're not playing real well. We got to climb over a bunch of teams. So you're not quite sure if you're buyers or sellers. I mean, if they win a few games, by golly, they're buyers, you know, and they gained a game on. I don't feel like they're going to catch the Dodgers in the AL West, but the fact is they gained a game on them yesterday because the Dodgers, you know, played 16 in Philadelphia and they had to use Kike Hernandez at the end.
I was watching that,
And another position player used as a pitcher. I'm going to get into that in a second because that's a real trend this year. But what are they, 4.5 out? So if you're a front office and you're trying to excite the fan base, you want to be buyers. You want to show that you're all in, especially after the horrible year they had last year. That's just the politics of the situation. You know, maybe for the Giants long-term, the wisest course of action would be to go all in with the youth and try to rebuild for next year. But, you know, the fact that the NL West, the teams are beating each other up, that there are a lot of mediocre teams, except for a couple of great ones. Well, if you're a couple of games over 500, right now you're in this thing. So you have to act like you got a shot. You look at the 2010 Giants. You know, this time of the year, they were just a few games over 500. Then Buster Posey came along right about this time of the year and started playing regularly. And then, you know, they went to a little bit of youth there. Madison Bumgarner coming up. You know, they got a couple of veteran additions, guys like Pat Burrell. You never know. So if you're not mathematically out of it, and in fact are mathematically very in it within five games in both the wild card and the division, if you're the front office, that's the way you got to approach it. So I think Giants win a couple more games, they absolutely have to be in buy mode. It's just going to be a matter of what they have to deal and can they stay under that luxury tax so they can be even more aggressive in the free agent market in the off season. But let's not fool ourselves. Luxury tax or no, they've got the money. It's just whether the front office wants to spend it and have the repeater tax.
You know, you mentioned Kike Hernandez. It seems like we've had a lot more position players pitching this year than ever before. You've got so many relievers on these rosters, yet, games are getting out of hand early. You know, starters leave games earlier, so you don't want to waste one of your pitchers. But it's funny, Ray, because I know when I was growing up playing baseball, many times I had the best arm on the team, but I had no desire to pitch. Sometimes I was forced to. It's like, hey, come on, you throw hard, get out there. And I was just all over the place. I couldn't throw a strike. I had no curveball. It was scary to me. So I don't know about this fascination that position players have that they want to pitch. They're dying to get out there. To me, it's scary.
Hey, I was a center fielder. So when I threw the ball in, I had like a 3-foot circle to throw into, you know, and I was on target. Yeah, this pitching thing was not for me either. Brandon Belt, though, is sitting there saying, why couldn't this be one of my games? You know, because he's been bugging Bruce Bochy for a long time to pitch. And I'll bet you he could throw in the 90s. The guy has a great arm. He's got one of the great arms of first baseman that you'll see. But, yeah, it happened again yesterday with Kike Hernandez. And it's kind of like waving the white flag. I watched a little bit of that, and he couldn't find the plate. And finally he got one over the plate, and the Dodgers got ploofed. As Trevor Plouffe hit a three-run shot to win it. I heard driving down that going into that game, there were 33 games in the major leagues this season where a position player was used. It's some kind of a record. And I don't know whether it's a modern record or an all-time record, but that's an incredible number. So it makes you wonder what's going on. And we were going to research this last night, but then I think we got into the margaritas too much, and that was the end of that. But how many blowout games there are this year, and whether that's one of the factors, because you're seeing a lot of these games, right, that are 17-3, 19-4. I don't know if it's more than the normal amount, but you've seen, you know, even in this modern game where bullpens are more stocked than ever, these position players are being used. Part of it is, you know, if it's a blowout, you want to save an arm if you can. But also, it's like you mentioned, managers are managing for 9 innings. And trying to cobble together, you know, the freshest arms to get through a game. And you're not seeing starters go as long. It's a different philosophy now. It's a quicker hook for a lot of these starters. But, you know, when you have middle relievers throwing 98, it's tempting to go to that fresh arm and try to get a few outs in the middle of the game and then get to the back end of your bullpen. So I don't know whether it's just a change in the way bullpens are being used and starters aren't going as long, or whether the actual games that we're seeing more blowouts this year, but it's a definite trend. And, you know, we may see Pablo Sandoval out there pitching again.
That was my favorite one, by far my favorite one to watch. All right, before we finish up, Ray, I wanted to get a little bit into fan behavior. And what made me think about it, first of all, was last night. You really had to sort of be paying attention to the audio in the game at Safeco Field, but there was a fan behind home plate. He's yelling at the home plate umpire about balls and strikes calls, and he's going, why are you doing that? Come on up, knock it off. Like, I kept thinking, what's this guy going to do if there's a mechanical ump? He's going to be bored. He's just not going to have a life.
He's going to be bored.
Yeah, he won't have that anymore. But all this kind of brings me to the Brewers coming to town, and the reaction that the fans had in Milwaukee, and John Shea actually wrote a column about it today in the San Francisco Chronicle, and I agree with John saying, you know, why were they giving Josh Hader a standing ovation after he came back, you know, right after the All-Star break and the tweets that he had out there when he was 17 years old? And sure, you can forgive the guy. I can understand that. He, you know, he's contrite about it, but to give him a standing ovation, that was the wrong message, I thought, and his first time on the road is going to be in San Francisco on Thursday.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting because, you know, the fans here are you know, kind of waiting for this maybe. I'm not sure what the reaction is going to be when he goes out to warm up in the bullpen.
I think fans will be Well, I would hope they'd be civil about it. You know, you're asking them to take the high road after what this guy tweeted. But you don't want any kind of ugly situation. But I'm sure he's going to hear it. I'm sure he's going to hear it from some fans. And, hey, you reap what you sow when it comes to this. And I know he was 17, but, again, there are a lot of 17-year-olds out there that don't tweet this kind of stuff and don't even think this kind of stuff. So, as we said last week, you hope that he learns from the situation. As far as the standing ovation, I guess, I want to think the best of human nature. I guess the message some fans are trying to send was, hey, we support you. You know, we believe that you were contrite, and we're going to support you in trying to be a better person. But the ugly fact of the matter is there might have been some fans who supported what he tweeted.
That's really a disturbing thought.
It is. And so the look is very ugly, whatever the intended message of the fans was. But, you know, that's the home fans. Nothing he did merited a standing ovation, of course. I mean, if you want to sit on your hands or applaud the guy, I guess you do that to show support. But a standing ovation says something else to me, you know. So I hope I'm wrong about that. But, yeah, it was a little bit disturbing. It didn't strike me the right way. As I said last week, all you can hope for now is that he did learn from this situation, that he tries to become a better person, that he is a better person, and now you judge him by his conduct from here on. And that's all you can do at this point.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, Ray. Hey, by the way, I was wondering, maybe throughout your life, you've been following whatever Barry Bonds did for his birthday, maybe getting birthday tips, because his birthday is the day before yours. So I would think you kind of find out what he did for his birthday, and then maybe you could follow suit.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I'll do what Barry Bonds does for his birthday, as long as Barry lends me some money to do it. Other than that, I don't think I can match Barry in the birthday department. So happy birthday belated to Barry Bonds. What is he, 54 now? And, you know, like I said, I don't travel in those circles. Maybe I'll see him on a bike ride someday.
Maybe. All right, enjoy your time there at the coast, Ray. Happy birthday again, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you, Joe.
That's Ray Woodson. Join us again on Friday. We'll be at AT&T Park in San Francisco as the Giants host the Milwaukee Brewers. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.